calls coming in. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about the liver flush before Dr. Daniels explains the purpose and all of that. First of all, I have to tell you that of all the things in the book, I was pretty resistant to enemas as well as liver flushes, because I was still mostly in the mindset that I had to focus on what I was eating. And even though I was doing a lot of research on detoxification, I was really just looking at it from the angle of how phytonutrients help to detoxify the body. And certainly they do, and that's why I'm the biggest proponent of Juice Plus, because what I have studied in the detoxification process is that the liver has, as well as other tissues, have what we call phase one, phase two enzymes. And the purpose of phase one and phase two enzymes is to really basically take inert toxins. By that I mean toxins that the body, toxic to the body because they're not part of what the body uses to either burn for energy or building blocks for cellular components. So when you have these foreign chemicals, another word is xenobiotics, enter the body, since the, I guess it was the 1930s, late 1930s, we've been beginning to understand what happens. If the body has tons and tons of plant nutrition, it can basically tag and remove that. And the body's always trying to clean itself. That's sort of the natural design of the body, is to heal itself. And that's an underlying theme behind everything that we're talking about here. And those toxins, Dr. Daniels talks about, you know, gives you not so nice skin, but it's also bad for your organs. And so there is this mechanism in the body, and what the phase one enzymes do is they basically tag a toxin. They create an active site on the toxin, because normally these toxins are unable to bind to enzymes, and the body can't get rid of them until it basically changes it and puts a charge on these toxins. And then phase two enzymes make them either water soluble, so it comes out through the urine, or other chemical, you know, very complicated chemistry I don't want to get into. But the interesting thing is phase one enzymes will also create a huge load of free radicals. And what happens in most people, my theory is that what happens in most people is they feel worse because the body's constantly trying to clean itself. But because there isn't enough plant nutrition, the excess free radicals that are created on top of everything that we create through metabolism is also added in. And then what happens is you get more damage and more damage and more damage, unless you have a ton of plant nutrients that are known to turn on those phase two enzymes and actually complete the process. And this is why I've been a big believer in getting in as much of a variety of plant nutrition as possible, because that increases the amount of phase one, phase two activity in the whole detoxification process. Now, when Dr. Daniel talked about the liver flush, I'll tell you, I didn't do the liver flush until we had the book published and book written and to the printer. And I said to my husband, Doug, we better do this liver flush. And I've always been surprised at how many people jump into the liver flush before they actually are prepared with their diet to do so. So that is one of the reasons that I got motivated to create these calls, so people would get some additional help in understanding what's involved in a liver flush. And our recommendation is that you really eat the whole food plant-based beauty diet, eat that way for at least 3 to 4 weeks before you jump into the liver flush. Otherwise, that liver flush is going to be unnecessarily, painful or not so comfortable.
Uncomfortable. So, yeah.
Uncomfortable, thank you. That's a better word. Not necessarily uncomfortable. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Daniels to talk about the liver flush.
Now, Maitra, tell them what your experience was in terms of results once you did the liver flush.
Well, you know, it was, I called up Dr. Daniels and I said, you never told me that this was also a spiritual cleanse. Oh, my goodness. I just felt so elated and light and, just the overall feeling of well-being. My face cleared up a lot more. I have a little bit of a line going in between my eyebrows, that is the liver line that we talk about in the book, and I always thought it was from squinting under the sun. Well, the squinting just defines where that line may end up, but basically the liver flush showed me that it is really about healthy organs and not so much about how I wrinkle my face under the sun. So, yeah, great results.
So that line went away.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I might do another one to, you know, further enhance that within the next month or so here. So, yeah.
All right, great. Well, thank you very, very much. The liver flush, I'd like to say, is very, very important. Because no matter where you are in your life, chemicals have accumulated in your liver. For example, every single packet of artificial sweetener, your body doesn't have the ability to remove that stuff. Instead, it just kind of stores it up. And the place it stores it up is not only in the liver, but in age spots and in various organs. So artificial color, artificial sweetener, preservatives, any artificial chemical you put in your body, pharmaceuticals, it doesn't matter. Any artificial substance accumulates in your body, and the place it accumulates in is the liver, because the liver has the responsibility of removing everything from the blood. It's called the first pass effect. So when the blood goes to your gut and soaks up all the nutrients, that blood is immediately passed through the liver. It's the first place it passes. That's why it's called the first pass effect. And the liver does its very, very, very best to remove the toxins or these foreign chemicals. And as Dr. Mitra said, the liver tags these chemicals. Well, when you have a lot of these chemicals in your diet, the liver can't tag them fast enough. And what it does, what it doesn't tag, circulates in the blood and circulates. And the body basically says, oops. This is a foreign chemical. We know it's foreign. The liver obviously didn't remove it. Maybe the liver is not able to remove it. And then other organs get involved and say, okay, how can we pitch in and help out? And the skin is the easiest way to help, right? Because you just take the chemical, boom, put it right in the surface of the skin. It's not a life-threatening situation. Yes, there is some pigment, some age spots, whatever, but it doesn't do any damage to a vital organ, and the body can continue to live and exist. So this is really the situation that we're faced with. And so just by being alive, you have a situation where these things accumulate in the liver and in the skin and even in the intestines. And so with the liver flush, you remove these things from the liver. And so now the liver is going to be tagging maybe 98% of these foreign chemicals instead of tagging, say, 30% of them. And what you're going to notice is all of a sudden these chemicals are going to be removed from the blood. And you will see them when you look in the mirror, because you'll see that your face is clear. You'll see that the age spots you do have are lighter, and you'll see that a few of them are missing. So it's very, very, very exciting. Now, I've done a lot of liver flushes, and just like you, or like anybody, I try to be a little efficient. I say, oh, I can skip this step. Oh, I don't need that step. And so I've skipped steps. I've done the steps wrong, whatever. And so that's how I devised this particular flush here. Because certain steps I did skip, and it was not a good thing. So it is important to do the liver flush rather precisely. So I'm going to tell you, you know, why you do the liver flush, how to do the liver flush, you know, and when to do it, and when you can make substitutions for different materials. Okay, the big reason to do the liver flush is you just cannot give each little age spot a personal attention. And you just can't give each little wrinkle personal attention. If you do, I mean, you would literally be in front of the mirror or in your bathroom or whatever, you know, for hours and hours every day. And it's very, very tedious. With a liver flush, you basically handle the underlying problem that's the cause of blemishes and deep crease lines. So that's one big thing. The next reason to do liver flush is because as long as the liver is not tagging pretty close to 100% of these chemicals for removal, as long as the liver is that inefficient, you're going to be making more and more and more age spots. And even if you clean up your diet, in the absence of the liver flush, you will generally get into kind of like a holding pattern. Your looks will improve modestly, but you'll still, you know, you're not going to get that, you know, 20 to 30 years off, depending on how old you are. If you're over 50, you can definitely erase, you know, 30 years worth of age spots. But only with liver flush. Without the liver flush, you could probably erase, you know, a good 10, take a little 10, 15 years off your looks pretty easily. So the liver flush is very, very important. Now, the other thing you need to do before the liver flush is very important is you need to make your best effort with the diet. The reason for this is your immune system has made a certain method of coping. Your immune system has said, okay, we're going to have the liver take out so many chemicals, and what it doesn't take out, we're going to put in the skin, and then we've got these wrinkles, and we can deepen the wrinkles at about this rate, and we'll, you know, ration up the nutrients just so. So your immune system has got this whole coping thing all set out. And your immune system tends to stay in that same path of coping unless it notices an external change, a substantial external change. So if you try to diet to the best of your ability, what the immune system is going to say is, hey, wait a minute, there's fewer chemicals coming in. Maybe I can reallocate some resources. Maybe I can have the liver do things differently or do more. And so you need to give your immune system the heads up that things have changed. These old ways of doing things are not necessary, that you're giving a little help here. It has fewer toxins to deal with, and it can allocate its nutrients a little differently. So that's important. Your liver needs to get that that piece of information. The next thing you need to do prior to doing liver flush is you need to focus on your hydration. Focus on drinking the recommended amount of water every single day. That is important. Again, your immune system is not going to kick into high gear unless it knows that it's got enough water on board to flush these chemicals out of your body and to really clean things up. Because your immune system, you may not realize this, it has been disappointed before, where it thought you were going to make changes and you really didn't. And so your immune system is a little skeptical, and you want to get your immune system on board and, you know, ready to act. And this, when you do that, it makes the liver flush not only more comfortable but much, much, much more effective. Okay, so the other thing, so you've got to make your best effort with the diet, your best effort with the water. And then we talked about enemas last time. You need to do a few enemas. The reason for this is it's going to help clean out the intestinal system. The liver ultimately empties all of its chemicals and poisons into the intestines. And if the intestines are not clear or not empty, then the liver flush is not going to be effective. And so a lot of waste in the colon becomes solid, becomes tenacious, gets stuck to the side of the walls. And so really doing enemas over a period of time is the only way to kind of clear that up or turn that around. All right, so we're going to start off with the liver flush. Day 1 through 4 of the liver flush is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about what you're trying to accomplish and kind of why you're doing it. Okay, what you're going to do is drink between 1/2 gallon to 1 gallon of apple juice each day. Now the question is, what kind of apple juice? The answer is organic apple juice is the minimum standard. The next thing, if you are able, is to juice organic apples and drink that juice. That is the best apple juice source. Now, why apple juice? The reason for apple juice is because apple juice contains malic acid. And the malic acid actually softens the stones. It's going to be a point in the liver flush where these stones are going to move. And they're going to move through tubes. And what you want the stone to do is you want the stone to be able to deform, to change shape, to be soft, and to kind of slip and slide out. You don't want the stone to be jagged with rough edges that can scrape your tissue, irritate it, or, heaven forbid, get stuck. So you really want to soften up those stones. So you want to make sure to drink at least 1/2 gallon of apple juice every single day for 4 days. Now, what if you're diabetic? What if it's too much sugar? You know, those are reasonable questions. Then you can just take malic acid. The simplest way to do that is just to take a heaping teaspoon of malic acid. You can buy it in crystals or powder at the health food store. If your health food store does not have it, you can have them special order it for you by the pound. And you take a tablespoon of malic acid, put it in some water, a quart of water rather, 1 quart, stir it up and drink it down, and do that twice in the course of the day. Now, you also have to make sure you get your regular amount of water, so we're really kind of hydrating and flushing the system out here. So if you don't get your apple juice or malic acid in, then later on in the liver flush, it can cause undue pain because the gallstones will be painful as they leave. Now, on day 5, you eat only raw veggies in the morning and water in the afternoon. This is important because what the raw vegetables do is they act as a scrub brush, soaking up any toxins or chemicals that are in the intestines. And the water in the afternoon gives you some flushing action, so it moves things further down the intestines. Now, at 6 p.m., you take a tablespoon of Epsom salts in a pint of water. Now, there's been some question, well, what kind of Epsom salts? The answer is, really, any kind of Epsom salts. So the very same Epsom salts that you soak in a tub, those are the Epsom salts. So it's a tablespoon in about a cup of water, stir it up, and just keep stirring until they dissolve, or you can use slightly warm water to dissolve it a little quicker. And drink this at 6 p.m. and repeat it again at 9 p.m. It's important to do this twice. You may get some diarrhea, and that's a good thing. That means that your intestines are emptying out, and then what we're doing is clearing the path for the gallstones to leave. If there's any bit of resistance, if the gallstones bump into a piece of poop along the way, they're going to stop tumbling into the intestines and say, oh, well, we thought the way was clear for us. You know, we didn't realize that things were clogged up. And what will happen is, as the liver is dumping all of its trash, instead of going forward down the intestines and out into the toilet, it'll actually do a U-turn, go up the stomach, up the esophagus, and it's awfully uncomfortable, and it can be have a very foul taste and a very foul smell. So, and you can get nausea, you can even get vomiting. So if you have nausea, if you have vomiting, it means that the Epsom salt steps were not effective enough, so you didn't get your intestines cleared. Now, the next thing that you do, so day 5, then, you've got some raw vegetables in there, plenty of water, and you're trying to clear out your bottom end. Day 6, you should fast with water. So in other words, just water only, and repeat your Epsom salts at 3 p.m. The reason for the water is we don't want to put any more solid food in. We really want this stuff, the waste that's in your intestines, that's been there for maybe decades. And we're talking about the kind of deep-seated waste that's maybe stuck to the side of the intestines or maybe hardened. We want that out so it's not in the way of the stones as they roll out of the liver and the gallbladder, the common bile duct, rather. So repeat the Epsom salts at 3 p.m., at 6 p.m., day 6 is the big day. You want to drink 2 tablespoons of olive oil followed by 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. Many people have asked what kind of olive oil. The most important thing about the olive oil is that it be organic. That is the most important thing. Because you're trying to detox, you're trying to remove this stuff from the body, you do not want olive oil that's filled with chemicals and itself has to be detoxed. So you want the liver to get a very clear message that it's supposed to be letting go of all the waste. There is no more waste for it to pick up. All it needs to do is just let go of the waste that it has. And so you want to use organic olive oil. And that's 2 tablespoons. Next, this is followed immediately by 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. The best lemon juice to use is the fresh-squeezed juice of organic lemons. And it turns out that lime juice also works pretty well. You repeat this every 15 minutes for 8 doses total. Now, the last 3 doses usually take a long time. So you see the first dose is like, oh, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, this is easy, followed by 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, oh, right, that's great. And then by the time you get to the 5th or 6th dose, it's like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And when you take the olive oil, you're like, oh, hurry, I need lemon juice. Because lemon juice cuts through the olive oil and clears your palate in terms of just your experience of the liver flush. The real deal, though, is that the olive oil lubricates the liver, but it also has a stimulating effect, and it stimulates liver to contract. The lemon juice cuts the olive oil, clears the palate, but the lemon juice also gives tone to the intestines and gets them to contract in a forward direction to move those stones along the intestine. So the olive oil and the lemon juice actually complement each other in terms of the way they both work in a coordinated way there. I recommend that you actually prepare for this by setting up 8 little cups of olive oil and 8 little cups of lemon juice. And you can put them in little pairs, you know, and you can maybe even write underneath them what time you're supposed to take them. You can get as ornate about it as you want, but if you have these little cups set out already, that makes it so much easier. It's even nicer if you can have a humble and faithful assistant who watches the clock for you, and all you have to do is do the best you can to just drink down the olive oil and drink down the lemon juice when it's handed to you. If you have that situation, that I think that is really ideal, and that makes it go a lot more smoother. So the other side effect is that you may hate olive oil forever and ever. After about my 5th liver flush, I reached the point where I could smell olive oil from across the room. If someone had a dish with one drop of olive oil in it, I could detect it. And I would not cook at all with olive oil. So you may have the same situation, and don't worry about it, because olive oil as a cooking ingredient is really not as healthy as it has been billed to be. So that's no big deal. So that's the big day. Now, when you get through drinking down your olive oil and your lemon juice, and you get that 8th dose in, you can just pat yourself on the back and say, wow, I've done it. And then lay down on your right side. This is very important, your right side. When you lay on your right side, your tummy is put together, so when you lay on your right side, the contents of your stomach naturally empty into the small intestine and naturally go right to the liver. So this is very, very good. So do lay on your right side. Now, if you're very clean, if you've cleaned everything out and, you know, drank all your water and stuff, then when you lay on your right side, you might feel a little sensation. And it's actually not pain or anything. It's a little sensation. It's kind of a little tinkle feeling, or the feeling that something is tumbling, something very light is just kind of tumbling along your right side. That's your stones just tumbling along the bile ducts in your liver and leaving the liver to cleanse. This is actually your liver actually flushing itself. So usually once you get to bed or lay down on your right side, most people have no problem falling asleep. You usually wake up somewhere between midnight and 3 a.m., and you have the urge to go to the potty and get up and go to the potty. Some people find that when they go, they have all these green stones that come out, and that, of course, is the best-case scenario. In my particular case, when I did my liver flush, I did not have stones come out at night, although I did get up at night. My stones came out the next day in the afternoon. So everybody's different, and that's absolutely okay. So the most important thing to realize is that you do have to lay on your right side and just relax and go to sleep. If you lay on your left side, then what will happen is the olive oil will flow in the opposite direction because of gravity. It will flow up into your esophagus and give you incredible nausea. So don't do that. So go to sleep, and then at 6 o'clock in the morning, take more Epsom salt, another tablespoon of Epsom salt in a pint of water. To make this easy on you, I'd recommend having the Epsom salts and the water mixed together and just set it by the bedside so that as soon as you wake up at 6 a.m., you can just drink it. And it's okay for you to go right back to sleep if that's what you want to do. So one tablespoon of Epsom salt and a pint of water. And what will happen then is this stimulates more bowel movements, helps you hydrate even more, and gets more debris coming out, again, painlessly. So that same day, number 7, because at 6 a.m. it's a new day, you want to do a juice fast for the whole day. And the reason for the juice fast is you want some calories to give you some strength, because most people feel very weak when they wake up that morning. So juice fast gets you some calories so you can get some strength. But because it's a juice fast, you don't get any fiber. And the lack of fiber means that the pathway for the gallstones to leave is not blocked at all. So this allows the stones to just kind of tumble, 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 and just tumble out. So that's important. Now, in terms of your activity, usually day 6 or day 7, I would say day 7, you feel the most tired. And so you want to cut back your activities on day 7. Maybe, plan to stay close by home, let yourself sleep in. You know, don't make a big schedule for yourself. And that's the day after you take the olive oil. Then the next day, you want to eat raw fruits and veggies for the day. So that means you want to eat only raw foods. If eating raw fruits and veggies in terms of chopping and this and that is too much for you, then yes, it is okay to substitute the green drink for day 8. Just drink the green drink all day long. If you want to make 2 batches, that's fine. Just that's what you eat. Then day 10, you can add some cooked foods, some cooked veggies, and so on, and get right back into your regular diet. All right, I'd like to take a pause here and just have people ask questions. We'll just answer questions.
Anybody have any questions? I know that in the book that we were missing day 8.
I have a question about a liver that's experienced hepatitis in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be any less? Is it going to be harder, easier?
Or it's going to be different. It's going to be different.
It's going to be different.
If you have a liver that's experienced hepatitis, it means your liver has experienced basically an overwhelming viral infection that it may or may not have healed from. And so when you do the liver flush, you may get a slight fever. Uh-huh. It would be transient, but you may get a slight fever as the organisms are flushed out.
Uh-huh.
You also may get an exceptional foul smell as you void or as you have a bowel movement emptying the stuff out of your liver after it flushes. So you may experience a transient fever. You may experience incredibly foul odor. The thing to do if let's say you know that you've been diagnosed as having hepatitis, then I would say before day 1 of the liver flush, you want to be on kind of a raw food diet. Maybe do the green smoothie the first 4 days of liver flush right along with your apple juice. So you want to really baby your liver. You want to really make absolutely sure that the intestines are clear. You want to make absolutely sure that you've been putting in no toxins or chemicals of any kind. So if you've had hepatitis, then that means that your liver has a very high burden of parasites that it wants to flush out. And so you want to do everything you can to make it easy for your liver. Okay, thank you for that question.
The green drink along with the half gallon of apple juice for the first 4 days.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
On day 8, you said, on day 7, you said you can do juice fast for the whole day. Can it be any type of juice? I know apple juice is so easy to get as an organic, but, I mean, are there other juices that we can have that day?
For the juice fast, that's different from the apple juice days. For the juice fast, I mean that you need to put your vegetables through the juicer.
Oh, okay.
So that's what you need to do with that day, because at that point, on day 7, you really need those enzymes and nutrients that are in the fresh juiced vegetable and fruit juices. So those extra nutrients your liver is really going to need, because you're going to feel tremendously tired because your liver's been working really, really hard and taking up a lot of energy and a lot of nutrients to get this done. As far as your liver's concerned, this is like having a baby. It's this big, huge purge. So you want to give it the best juice, which would be juice from the juicer. I would not recommend the bottled juice of any kind, even the organic, for day 7.
Okay. And is that the vitamin? Fruits and vegetables both?
Yeah. If you have the guts to do it, just do the vegetables. I put fruits in only as flavor enhancers. So my favorite juice is beet, celery, carrot. And that would be like 6 carrots, half a beet, and 2 stalks of celery. You put that through the juicer. And that beverage helps rebuild the liver as well as expedite the cleansing.
What did you say? I'm sorry. 6 carrots, half a beet, and
yes.
What? And
2 stalks of celery. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Now, with the malic acid, is it a teaspoon or a tablespoon?
It's a heaping teaspoon, which is the same as a level tablespoon.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. And then are you doing enemas during the liver flush daily?
I would recommend it, especially if you think that you might have any problems at all. So if you've had a history of hepatitis or, you know, anything at all, then I would definitely would. But it can be, you know, especially that olive oil and lemon juice day. You need, if you're going to do an enema, you need to do the enema before you even get started with the lemon juice and olive oil, because once you get dose number 8, you don't want to do anything except curl up in bed and just have someone pat you on the back and tell you it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then on the day 6 with the olive oil stuff, as you're doing, you're not drinking water during that 6 o'clock with the 8 doses of olive oil, or are you? Like in between?
No, you're not. You're drinking, you're getting your water in earlier in the day.
Right. So you're doing really nothing else than just waiting around to drink the next set of olive oil and lemon juice.
Well, yeah. If you've never done a liver flush, then yeah, you feel like you're just going to be waiting around. But if you've done liver flush, those 15 minutes go way too quickly. And so as soon as you get olive oil and lemon juice down, you're giving yourself a pep talk. Okay, I'm ready. Yes, I can do this. Okay, that's the dose. It'll be all right. And just as you try to really get yourself up for it, the dose comes. You're like, oh, wow. I didn't get through psyching myself up. So the last 3 doses can take 2 hours to do.
Oh, wow.
And I've done that too, where I'm like, oh, man, you know, I got to get this done. I got to drink this down. And that's why it's so helpful to have someone helping you out and pointing out to you that it's been 30 minutes and you still need to drink this. And you're like, oh, okay. And you just drink it down. So, but if it's just you, the time can slip away before you know it. It's midnight. You haven't got all the 8 doses in. You know, so it's very helpful. If you have a timekeeper who will keep the time for you, who will gently encourage you, and who will hand you your olive oil and lemon juice.
Okay.
Now, on the day 7 juice fast day, or I guess really throughout the whole thing, where does Juice Plus fit into that? Should you be taking it? Should you be doubling, tripling, quadrupling it? What is your recommendation?
Take your Juice Plus except on day 6. Skip your Juice Plus on day 6 because it's not going to get absorbed and it's just going to run right through you.
And the other day is just a regular dose, or would it be beneficial to double up? Or
just a regular dose, because what's happening is you're cleaning out your intestines, so you're getting increased absorption. So you're actually going to get an increased absorption of the Juice Plus that you're taking, which is nice.
Yeah.
What do
you do on day 9?
Day 9.
Oh, yeah.
Erosion. If you want to do another day, day 10 is day 9, and then the next day you add grains. So day 8 is fruits and veggies raw. Day 9 is fruits and veggies, cooked veggies. And day 10 is cooked veggies and grains.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
So can you tell us about, like, what do you mean grains? Just the grains?
Brown rice, quinoa, millet.
Okay.
Those are my favorite ones.
When you're, when you have the Epsom salts the night before, you're leaving them mixed on your bedstand, or you're just separating, have them dry in the water, and then you mix it in the morning?
No, you're leaving them mixed. The reason you're leaving them mixed is because when you wake up, you like them to be fully dissolved, so you can just give a little stir and just drink it right down.
Okay.
Do you see any parasites?
Yes. Yes and no. Some people do and some people don't. I personally never did, but, you know, I get phone calls and emails letting me know all the big worms that are coming out and thanking me for helping them. Get rid of these worms. So everybody's different. Some people will get worms. Some people will get these little white dots, which are actually a kind of micro gallstones, and you know, the very earliest stage of gallstones. Some people will get huge stones. Some people will get you know, like 50 stones. Some will get 100. Some will get just 4 or 5. So it's very different. And so others will get, you know, blobs of unidentifiable, really foul-smelling stuff come out. So everyone has a different experience, actually.
I have a question about enemas and breastfeeding.
Uh-huh.
Is it okay to do enemas while you're breastfeeding? That won't, like, decrease your milk supply as long as you're drinking enough fluid?
It might not. The way it works when you're breastfeeding is it's very similar to being pregnant. What happens is your body takes the food that you eat and extracts, you know, more from it than it ordinarily would. And it uses that to make milk as opposed to making a baby. That's what it does.
Okay.
So when you do enemas, it may actually decrease your milk flow. So what I would say is if you are breastfeeding and you want to do enemas, I would proceed slowly. Maybe start with once a week or twice a week.
Okay.
And if you notice your milk flow decreasing, and that's undesirable for you, then cut back your enemas.
Okay. And then with milk thistle, can you take milk thistle while you're breastfeeding? I know you can't when you're pregnant, but...
Well, it varies. Again, with milk thistle when you're pregnant, it depends on the conditions of your pregnancy. So you just need to have someone who can evaluate that for you. Milk thistle when you're breastfeeding is usually okay. It should work pretty well.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Daniels,
I had
tried the liver flush for one day, and I made it till about 5 p.m., but then I started shaking. Is that a normal thing? I got worried. And
is that with your apple juice or with your olive oil and lemon juice? What? How far did you get? You just got the apple juice day?
Yeah, just the apple juice day.
Well, I'm
still nursing.
That
so
can
thought,
happen. Are you from the north? You know, like where it's cold?
She said she's still nursing.
No, I'm Southern California.
Okay. Sometimes you can get that if you're drinking cold fluid. Another way around that is to drink your fluid a little bit warm. Another way around it is to take the malic acid instead of the apple juice.
That's what I was wondering.
The first day, though,
sugar.
You are supposed to be eating pretty regular. You know, you're supposed to be eating, you know, cooked vegetables, grains, raw vegetables, you know, still a varied diet. Were you trying to do apple juice alone?
Yes, on the first day.
Wait, listen.
Okay, that will give you, yeah, that will get.
Can you hear me, Jennifer? She said
yes.
She's breastfeeding. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I caught that, but that really shouldn't be either here
yeah,
or there.
Yeah, no, but I mean, in terms of calories, just, yeah, if you're just trying to do apple juice and you're breastfeeding, that's just not going to work.
Well, that's not the liver flush. You're supposed to be eating a full meal the first 4 days. Just add apple juice to your usual menu.
Oh.
Yes, it's not an apple juice fast the first 4 days.
That's what I thought.
So, yeah, if you do apple juice fast, yes, you will get trembling and shaking. However, if you do a liver flush and you simply add the apple juice to your regular diet, then it works out pretty well. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll clarify that in the next edition. Thank you for that question.
Sure.
Yeah, Dr. Daniels?
Yes.
Didn't you say, though, when you're doing the apple juice, did you say eat the raw veggies in the morning and water in the afternoon?
No, that's on day 5.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. You're right.
Day
5. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. The beauty of the liver flush is it kind of eases your body into it. So the first 4 days are kind of like pedaling your bicycle with the training wheels.
Got it.
Yeah, it's kind of like an easy introduction. And then the fifth day where that's where the rubber meets the road. But by the time you're that well hydrated by adding an extra half gallon to a gallon of apple juice, then on day 5, your body's like, oh, I can do this. Yeah, of course. So if you jump right into just drinking a half gallon of apple juice a day and you choose the bottled apple juice from the store, that's pretty traumatic, actually.
Now, with skin changes
uh-huh.
and improvements, could you also expect improvements in psoriasis or eczema? Or are we just talking about age spots?
Yeah.
Is Mitra here?
I'm sorry, say that again? I didn't hear the question right.
Oh,
she asked me could we practice medicine on this call, so she wanted to know. Is it going to help her eczema and her psoriasis? or just her age spots?
I mean, if you need counseling with health stuff, we need to go another route. You need to either make a consultation with myself or Dr. Daniels.
Okay,
and you can email us about that.
Yeah, but having said that, eczema and psoriasis are essentially toxicity issues. And there's an environmental component as well. But many people do experience some benefit and some improvement. But the liver flush alone, I don't believe, is enough to cure either one of those, although people do experience dramatic improvement.
Okay. That's what I was just wondering that.
Okay. All right, great. Any other questions? Okay, what I'd like to do then is I'd like to talk about some kind of advanced concepts with the liver flush. People touched on a couple of things like the Juice Plus and the liver flush. Juice Plus is a lot of phytonutrients, and you know, it's tremendously nourishing to the liver and helpful to the liver when it's going through this difficult, really a challenging exercise. The only reason to not take it on day 6 is just that it would just be flushed right through the body. It's just not going to be very helpful. Another thing people worry about is nausea or vomiting they might have with the liver flush. If you have symptoms of nausea or vomiting, that just means that the intestines are not sufficiently clear. So if you develop nausea before you do the olive oil and the lemon juice, then don't do the olive oil and lemon juice. Give yourself another 2 days of Epsom salts. And you can do a juice fast on those 2 days. So give yourself 2 more days of Epsom salts to clear out your intestines.
Would you repeat that, please?
Give yourself 2 additional days of Epsom salts at the 6 and 9 p.m. mark to help clear out your intestines if you experience nausea or even vomiting.
So if you experience nausea or vomiting on day 5,
mm-hmm.
And you give yourself 2 more days of...
No, day 5 is a water fast day, so now you're going to back it up. You're going to give yourself some juice, make it a juice fast day, and take out some salts. So you're going to give yourself some nutrition and calories in the form of vegetables that have been put through the juicer, and you're going to have some calories there and some increased nutrients there that are going to give keep your strength up, but you're going to take the Epsom salts a couple of days longer to help clear out your intestines.
Okay.
Now the other thing about this is if you've been doing enemas for about a month, then you're keenly aware of exactly how your intestines feel when they're full, when they're empty, when they're half full, and so that'll be a big help to you in kind of reading your belly and understanding what's going on there, and also understanding what you're trying to accomplish. Since you know that what you're trying to accomplish is to empty all the poop from your intestines so that there is nothing in the way of these stones and they tumble out of your liver, then you can just touch your belly and think to yourself, is this belly empty or not? And that'll help you understand and figure it out and to give yourself another day to empty out if that's what you need to do. The other thing people ask about is olive oil, what kind of olive oil? And, should they get extra virgin? Should they get this? Should they get that? It turns out that that's really not important. The bottom line is just that it's organic. So if it's organic, then that's it. You can go, you can do the liver flush with it. And people want to know if they have to take malic acid during a liver flush. The answer is yes and no. Yes, you have to take malic acid in some form, either take it as apple juice or take it as malic acid dissolved in water. So, yes, you do have to take it, but no, it doesn't have to be in the form of malic acid. It can be in the form of apple juice. And so that's really about all the things I have to say about the liver flush. Oh, the other question is how often to do it. Should you do it, once a month, twice a month, whatever? Well, the liver flush, as you can see, takes a full 10 days. So I'd recommend doing it about once a month. If you're feeling that it's something you need to do frequently, no more than once a month. In terms of what's the minimum number of liver flushes you should do, I would say the minimum is 2 a year, one in the spring and one in the fall. Because as you switch from spring to summer and from summer to fall, your body has a tremendous desire to cleanse. And so if you just go along with your body's cycles and just cleanse during those times, that makes the cleanse much more thorough and makes it much more comfortable. So your body is already inclined to go right along with you and to cleanse. The other question is what to do, you know, where does the liver flush fit into the whole beauty routine? And again, the place it fits is to get rid of those stubborn age spots or stubborn creases that you just can't seem to get to budge. And so it's really important to make your best effort in terms of doing the other instructions in the book before trying a liver flush. And you'll also get the most dramatic results that way as well. Okay, well, Mitra, that's all I have to say. Is there something you'd like to add?
No, I mean, as I said, it was not something I was looking forward to doing, but I think that the thing about these cleansing ideas, such as doing enemas and liver flushes, is that until you get the results, it might seem a little bit, you know, like, why would I go through all this pain and trouble? And the reality is that if we don't do it, then ultimately it's going to catch up with us in lots of different ways that we really don't want to get into the medical consequences here. But even though these calls are designed for health and beauty for many, many reasons, actually more about beauty, when it comes to different health conditions, a lot of health conditions that people have been facing, and a wide range of health conditions, really, everything from skin mm-hmm. conditions to infertility to weight loss to whatever, diabetes, you name it, the only thing I want to tell you is that when you follow what we talk about in the book, your health just, you regain your youthful health, and that really is, that's beautiful is what it is. So, yeah, so we encourage you to, try it